right. There's our announcements. Ethan, Autumn, thanks a bunch for doing all that you do for that. Hey, I want to say a big thanks to all those who helped this week for build the float. Yesterday, you may have seen our church float there in the Jubilee Days parade. So I want to say a big thanks and big shout out to Debbie. Are you in the room? She must be helping downstairs. All right. Well, anyway, she was instrumental. Stacy, my wife, some of our kiddos, helpful. Don't give me any credit. I only put a couple things up real high. I was there, and praise God. Hey, Kylie and Anthony, make sure, ladies, you go across the street right after service and have a great time with them. And then for the swap meeting, don't forget to bring some finger foods. Who doesn't like finger foods, right? Something to munch on anyway. Hey, listen, we're going to continue on with Pentecost. Oh, great. It is great. This is scripture, okay? I want to share with you the importance of following the Holy Spirit. And so this is really part three here. And whoops, didn't hit the right button yet. Hang on. Be patient with me. Here we go. Raise your hand if you ever played with those magnets. Any magnets? You get them the right direction and they go together. And sometimes if they're real strong, they're hard to get apart, aren't they? But if you turn those around and they kind of move off of each other, don't they? And that's going to tie in with what we're talking about this morning. And so turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to try to keep this short because there's so much in it. I'm going to try not to add a whole lot of other things. I could. I'm not going to try to do that. But he says here in Galatians 5, in verse 16, where we're going to begin, says, "So I say," or that's another way of saying, let me say it again. Let me reword it, okay? "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." What a concept. What a concept. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Or let's live, we got to learn to live by the rule of the Holy Spirit. And we're gonna as we go into these next few verses, Paul is going to help us to understand several things. And he's going to help us understand the sinful nature, and he's going to help us understand living by the Spirit. Okay, so he says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. I'm not going to ask you to do it, but each one of us could raise our hand if I asked the question, who in here has a sinful nature? We would all have to raise our hands. Well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, we can use a few different words for sinful nature. We could also use the word the flesh, or the carnal nature, carnal man, or the natural man. Okay? Any one of those would refer to that sinful nature that we were all born with. Well, hold on a second, Pastor. I thought that everybody was born good for the most part. That's why when your little kid is old enough to say no, they start saying no. Right? Hey, don't put your finger in the light socket. No. Anybody ever experienced that? Your kids? Maybe you were the one that did that. We're good at that. Sometimes we say no to what's right, don't we? And so where did that come from? That came from Adam and Eve. We call it the fall. We've all been born with this sinful nature, this tendency to go our own way, this tendency to be directed towards sin. Does that mean there's no hope for us? No, not at all. But in this passage, in this message today is the hope. And so I want to, and I'm excited to share that with you. So let's look at the scripture. He says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Does that make sense? When you do what the Spirit wants, you won't be doing what your sinful nature wants, the flesh. Those desires that we have. Verse 17, and the next scripture, the next verse, he says, the sinful nature wants to do evil. And everybody said, uh-oh, right? The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite. Remember the magnets? The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Your sinful nature wants to do whatever is contrary to the Spirit. It doesn't want to do the things that the Spirit wants to do. And we wonder, sometimes we wonder why it's so difficult to follow Christ, right? This is the explanation right here. Because we have this, we were born with this sinful nature, and yet we're commissioned by Christ to live by the Spirit. And so there's this constant battle and war within us. Let's read on. So the sinful nature wants to do what's opposite of what the Spirit wants, and the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. The Holy Spirit is never going to lead you to do something that's immoral and wrong in God's sight. He is God, remember? The Holy Spirit is God. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Hallelujah. And we're going to find out why that's a good thing, because here in just a few verses, we're going to see what some of the works and what the flesh and the sinful nature produces in our lives. Let's look at the next slide. These two forces, that would be the Spirit and our sinful nature, these two forces are constantly fighting each other. And you know that to be true because you've experienced it in your own heart, haven't you? Yeah. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. You wanted to do good and you wanted to do right, and you were planning it. You in your mind it was going to happen, but the sinful nature gets in the way too often, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit wants us to follow Him instead. You see, one of the concerns that, as I was preparing for this, one of the concerns that I had was that we might think that since we all have this sinful nature, and this sinful nature is contrary to what the Spirit wants, then how can God judge us if we just do what the sinful nature does and wants us to do? Well, it's pretty simple. One, I told you that we all were born with the sinful nature. That's because of the fall. Back when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they disobeyed God's direct order. And so God didn't give us a sinful nature. We did. It was the result of disobeying God. So we can't say that God makes us sin. Matter of fact, James tells us that. He said, when you sin or when you're tempted, you can't blame God for tempting you. God is perfect, He's holy, He's righteous, and He can never tempt anyone to sin, nor would He. It's not in who He is, it's not in His nature. He does what is good and what is right, and He encourages and leads His people to do what is good and right. So we can't think that away. God didn't give us the sinful nature. Instead, though, God has given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us a way out. He's given us an escape, and He wants us to learn to choose the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit has for us and what the Holy Spirit would lead us to do. So God would definitely have the right to judge each one of us, wouldn't He? I mean, let's face it. He's a holy judge, a righteous God. But these two forces, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are constantly fighting each other. And it's difficult to carry out our good intentions. But in verse 18, the scripture continues and says, but when you are directed by the Spirit, That's the Holy Spirit. But when you're directed by the Holy Spirit, when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. What is Paul saying there? Paul authored this letter to the church in Galatia. Why did Paul say that? Well, basically, if I could sum it up, Paul is saying, simply put, he's saying that there's the higher order is the Spirit over the law. The Spirit is the one who gave the law to begin with. But when we're led by the Spirit, he's enough. Does that make sense? At the same time, when any of us operate in any of the gifts of the Spirit, the Bible says that we need to test each one of those and make sure it is the Holy Spirit. And that's fair, don't you think? When it's you or when it's somebody else, I think that's fair. We want to test that and make sure that it does line up to Scripture. But we got to, because Scripture is our standard. At the same time, the Holy Spirit is, we've got to simply learn to be directed by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go in now. Paul begins to list what happens when we allow the sinful nature in verse 19. Paul begins to list what happens, some of the works, if you will, of the sinful nature, when we allow the sinful nature to control us. These are some of the things the results of that. Okay? When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And I'm going to touch on each one of these just for a moment. Sexual immorality. This would be any relationship outside of marriage, the parameters of marriage that God has given between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. This is sexual immorality, what Paul is mentioning here. When we allow our sinful nature to control us, these are some of the things that we get as a result. Okay? And then the next one says impurity or impure thoughts has to do with the thought life. I would think that pornography would be an aspect of this one for sure, and what we allow ourselves to think about. So, obviously, God would have us live in purity. The sinful nature would prefer impurity, right? Okay, is everybody still with me? I know it's gotten quiet. Here's another one, lustful pleasures, or an eagerness for that kind of pleasure. It's an open and excessive indulgence in sexual sins. There's no sense of shame or restraint. Again, it's dealing with the previous two, sexual immorality and impurity. Paul says this stuff isn't good. Okay, look at verse 20. Idolatry. Now we live in America where idolatry isn't exactly something that we think of very often. In other countries you walk by, they have buildings, they have shrines, they have idols or statues, and people will go to those and worship those. We don't exactly have that here in America, but I don't know that we have any less idolatry. An idol is anything that you have placed, have allowed to put in the place of God, and you worship it. It might be your boat. I'm just saying. Your cell phone, okay? It could be money. Greed is a form of idolatry. Scripture tells us that. If money, if whatever has your heart, if it's captured your heart and you serve that thing or that person or that individual over God, then that you have a big problem. That's become an idol in your heart. And guess what? It's got to bow. It's got to bow. Matter of fact, one of my favorites, I have a lot of favorite Bible stories, but one of my favorites is in the Old Testament. When they took an enemy nation, captured the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? They captured That was God's, that was the thing that symbolized God's presence and God's power. And now, at that time, another nation had it. Well, they put it in beside their idol, in the temple of their idol. And guess what happened? Their idol falls off of its pedestal and breaks. And I think, I just see a smile on God's face when they have, I'm like, I'm going to show you guys. The idols have to bow, church. The idols have to bow. Idolatry. Anything that we set up as God in our lives. And it's real easy. It's real easy to try to worship God along with that. But God's not having it. We try to, oh yeah, I'll go to church and I think it's good that you're in church. Because things can happen. God moves. But we got to make sure that our heart is right before the Lord. We've got to make sure that there's nothing else that we've allowed to set up camp in our heart of hearts and allowed that thing that we think about all the time or spend money on all the time, that thing that we give all of our attention to. That, if that's the case, that's become your idol. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you with it. Idolatry. The next one is sorcery. Again, not something that many of us know much about. This would be witchcraft, magic. I'm not talking about illusions. I'm talking about black magic type of stuff. These are things that... And it's kind of interesting because there's this, in the last several years, there's been kind of a tendency for people to, they're intrigued by some of these supernatural things. And I want to caution you. If it doesn't promote Jesus, you need to be careful. If it doesn't promote Jesus, I'm talking about even some things that we call exercise. You need to be cautious about it. If there's a check in your spirit, don't do it. And it's about some of those things I've got to check in my spirit. I said, it's not for me. And so, I'm not talking about exercising, going for a run or walking. I'm talking about different things. They tap into spiritual aspects, okay? Be cautious. Be wise. Be wise as serpent and harmless as dove. So we have to be careful what we walk into, what we allow ourselves to participate in, okay? And that is a caution. Paul here is saying it's those who are actively involved in this and pursuing and worshiping other gods, okay? But look at this next one, well, these next several, hostility. Oh goodness, this is kind of some enmity between groups. You ever find out that some people just like to fight and argue? Raise your hand if you're one of them. I'm just kidding. It may be some unresolved conflict whose cause might even have been forgotten, but it's caused you to yield and harvest bitterness toward that other person or that other group. Can I briefly say this? I believe that the body of Christ is one body, not many bodies. Right? So go ahead, look around the room, look at your brothers and sisters, and smile at them. If there's something between you and somebody else, my Bible tells me that you have to forgive. You don't have a choice. Come on, you can amen that a little bit better. It's the Word of God, not me. If I have a problem with somebody, I have to forgive them. It's not a choice. Jesus said it like this. Again, not anybody other than Jesus. Jesus said, if you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. I didn't say it. But that's kind of tough to live, isn't it? Because forgiveness, guess what? Forgiveness isn't a feeling. You don't wake up on one morning and say, "Oh, today I'm going to go and forgive that person." It's not like a feeling, like you're just overcome, like, "Oh, this is going to be amazing." Like going and riding a roller coaster or going skiing on the lake, or it doesn't equate to that. It's not the same thing. Forgiveness is hearing those scripts, hearing the verse I just quoted, Jesus' words, and saying, "God, you got to help me then." It's a choice. It's not a feeling. Somebody needs to hear that today. Maybe somebody's. But Jesus said you've got to forgive if you want to be forgiven. It's a choice, not a feeling. And the choice says, "God, you said it. I believe it. Now I need you to help me with it." You know, one of the evidences that you've forgiven somebody, you don't go talking bad about them anymore. That's one of those, that's a way that you will know that you have really forgiven them. Let me also say this. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're ready to go and stand beside them. But don't let it disrupt your heart. Speak to them, love them. They may not be the person that you invite over for dinner every other week. Okay? But forgive and let it go. If you need forgiveness, ask them, and they'll give it. They have to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we have to forgive. But we ought to want to, because guess what? When we're living in it with unforgiveness, we're suffering. We're suffering. Okay, moving right along. That hostility. This again. These are things that our sinful nature produces. Okay. Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling. Do I need to say anything there? It's fussing and fighting. James said in chapter 4 of James, he said, you quarrel and fight among yourselves because you don't get what you want. Because the pastor didn't see it your way. Whoops, I went there on accident. I love you guys. I do. Jealousy. Oh, dear. Let's lump jealousy and envy together. It's hard for me to differentiate the two of them. You have jealousy or envy in your heart if God blesses one of your brothers or sisters in the room or outside of the room, either one. If God blesses them with something material or with whatever blessing he blesses them with, you have envy or jealousy in your heart if you're like, "Well, that should have been me." And you cross your arms and you step back and you look like this, that condescending look. That should have been me. The heart that jealousy doesn't have a hold of and envy doesn't have a hold of says, "Man, that's so awesome. I'm so happy for you. Praise God." And meaning it from your heart. But jealousy is saying, "Oh, that should have been mine." That sounds ugly, doesn't it? Can we get rid of that stuff today? It should have been me. That was my blessing. It's thick in here. It's hot in here and the air's on. Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, and I lumped in envy. It's going to come up in a few. Outburst of anger. Selfishness. Again, I don't get my way. So I'm going to fuss and I'm going to pitch a fit. That's living that way. It's living that way. Selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. This is an approach to life and work that tries to get ahead at other people's expense. You're so ambitious that you just walk all over whoever you have to walk on to get what you want. There's no place in the kingdom of God for that. Is there? There's no place in the church for that. Again, we're brothers and sisters. We're a family. Matter of fact, the scripture says that we belong to each other. Selfish ambition also implies an aggressive attitude toward others in pursuit of one's goals. Dissension. This is created among people because of divisions. let's do division first then. I'm sorry. Divisions be strong disagreements or quarrels. The situation that can quickly develop between people when a disagreeable attitude prevails. There's that word attitude. The fact remains that we're never going to agree on every single thing as a family. Right? But let's not allow ourselves to have a disagreeable attitude. Meaning, sometimes some people you just can't ever please, even if you give them what they want. It's the attitude. They have an attitude like, I'm just not going to be happy about it. It's still hot in here. And awful quiet. It's okay. It really is okay because we want the Holy Spirit to let it soak down into our hearts, right? Because we've got to then respond with obedience. And we're going to allow that in a few minutes. I've got some things ready in the altar, and I've got some instruction. Charlie, if you'll be ready to come up and help out during the altar in a moment with some songs, if that'll be all right. Where am I at? Division, and then dissension. This describes a tendency to look for allies in conflict. Oh dear. Oh dear. We're good at that. I'm saying the sinful nature. We're looking for somebody to be on our side. We go and tell somebody, well, this is what so-and-so did, or this is what, and we're trying to get them on our team, so then it's us versus them. And again, in the kingdom of God, in this family of believers, there is no place for us versus them. Is there? No, you're part of us. You're one of us, right? And so we've got to give up these attitudes and these selfish areas. And have you noticed that the sinful nature is all about self? The sinful nature is all about self. The preservation of self. That's why Jesus said, you've got to die. Not physically. We're all going to die physically. You've got to die to yourself. That's what Jesus said. You've got to die to yourself and take up my cross. And when we take the things of God to heart, we're grateful for one another. Even when they don't treat us like they should. Because guess what? It's going to happen in a family of this size. You might fight within your family of four or five. Okay? Let's just love each other. Can I get a witness? Amen. A little bit better? Amen. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Amen. All right, that was just barely good enough on that one. Dissension, division. Guys, it's from the selfish, the sinful nature, rather. Verse 21. There's that envy. Drunkenness. Oh no, here goes Pastor Chad. Drunkenness. You don't need to drink in excess. I don't drink at all. Because you want to know why I don't drink at all? I don't drink at all because I don't want anybody thinking, seeing me with any kind of whatever in my hand and thinking it'd be okay if I do it too. When you may not be able to handle it. I don't know that I can handle it or not. Because I don't do it. I just don't. And that's my two cents. So, I think, why would I want to start something that might cause somebody else pain and difficulty? Or, listen, my family, we got hit by a drunk driver when Natalie was a baby. It wasn't any fun. I felt so sorry for that drunk man that I thought, before that happened, I always thought that, forgive me for saying this, but this was what I thought. I thought that if somebody hurt my family, I'd beat them to a bloody pulp. I'm the protector of my family, okay? And you're the protector of your families. And so as a pastor, it's kind of cool because I get to be like another protector over everybody. It's fun. I love it because I am a protector. Went over after I got my family out of the vehicle, which was kind of weird because the side doors were locked, were jammed, and none of them were open, and I was about ready to rip the van in a couple of different pieces. But I went after my family was safe. I went over to the man that hit us. I could tell by the way he was driving, he was drunk. And there was this oval in the middle of his windshield. And his face was all bloody and broken and bleeding. I didn't have to lay hands on him at all. My heart went out to him. I don't know why I'm sharing that. Drunkenness. That's why. He was drunk as a skunk. He could not keep it between the lines, and we ended up paying for it. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties. Hang on, before I move on, well, either one would work. If you choose to drink, I just have a question. What's that say to others who are around you? What does that say to them? If you want to promote Jesus with your life, what is that going to promote? My concern is that it won't promote that Jesus is your life. And this statement, you do you? No. Here, Paul is saying we got to stop doing you. We got to stop doing me. We got to stop doing the self. We got to do the Spirit, right? Okay, that's good. That's good. That's the Lord. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties. I've only been to one wild party, and I didn't stay very long because there ain't nothing going on there that I want. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Be cautious, teenagers. Use your head. Let the Holy Spirit give you a check. If there's a check, then you're not even going, even if you think you're invited. Okay. And other sins like these, Paul adds, in case there's some other stuff. Okay? Let's continue on. And I'm going to point this out for a moment. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life, listen to this, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the mic just fell. This one's heavy. Anybody living that kind of life isn't going to inherit the kingdom of God. And that breaks my heart. Do you know what that means? Let me reword it in my lingo. Your name won't be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You won't get to go to heaven and you won't get to stay there. Even if you can see it from a distance, you don't get invited in. The invitation's down here. And the invitation is today. Jesus has been calling you. Jesus has been tugging on your heart, I promise. You just have to recognize it and understand it. I look back over my life and I remember really interesting moments when I know that Jesus was doing one of these in my heart of hearts. But I'm like, okay, I don't get it. It took me a long time. And he's just tugging and he's tugging. And I believe that he's tugging on your heart. I believe that he's been tugging on your heart. I believe that he loves you like crazy. And today, I pray that this will be an eye-opener for us as believers. Or maybe you're not a believer yet. Maybe you've been thinking about it. And here you're confronted with your own sinful nature. Listen, I'm not pointing any fingers. Jesus didn't point any fingers. He knows that each one of us have a sinful nature. And that's why Paul wrote this. He said, I got to tell you guys, because if you're living like this, you won't go to heaven. That's pretty serious business, isn't it? Verse 22. There's a but. But the Holy Spirit produces this and this kind of fruit in our lives. This is great. I'm not going to take a lot of time because these are words that we all pretty much get. Love. How many of you are angry when somebody loves you? Well, that feels amazing. Even when you've been a knucklehead and they're like, come here. They give you a little side hug. Pat you on the shoulder, encourage you, and you know that they love you. Even after you've been silly. Man, come on, right? Yeah, we don't mind that, do we? That's great when those things happen. Love and joy. See, I happen to believe that you can't get joy from this world. There's things that can make us happy, we can enjoy, but real joy on the inside of us doesn't come from a couple of experiences. It comes from the Savior. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Okay? Which is our next one. Peace. Some of you cry yourself to sleep at night because you know you're living in sin. I've been there. And it is no fun. But Jesus wants to redeem you. Jesus wants to save you. Jesus wants to clean you up. And wash you up on the inside. Amen? The next one is patience. This is the stuff the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. Patience. I got to say that one a whole bunch of times. I'm working on patience. Or we can be, you all have heard it, God, give me patience right now. I need it quick. Because we don't want to work on it. But guess what? The sufferings that we endure produce patience in our lives. And we don't want the sufferings, we don't want the difficulties, but that's something that the Holy Spirit helps to produce through those things. Kindness. Christians ought to be kind and loving and to others. Goodness. It's just doing right to others. And faithfulness. It's good to be faithful, keeping your word, doing what you say you will do. Verse 23, gentleness. Need I say anything? It's being gentle to others and gracious to them. And self-control, would sum up all of the rest of the stuff that the sinful nature produces, right? Because that's all because of self. And now he says the Holy Spirit's going to produce self-control in our lives. And look at what he says next. There is no law against these things. The things that the Holy Spirit produces. Excuse me. Why is there no law against them? Because it's what the Holy Spirit produces. It's what the Holy Spirit does through us. And those things would line up to the rest of the Word of God. To love others. To be gracious. To be faithful to them. To keep our commitments. To control ourselves. And not operate in anger, but instead operate in kindness and gentleness. So this morning we've seen that there is our sinful nature is going to produce, well, there's a whole bunch of things that are ungodly, right? But then we have, on the other hand, we have this fruit that the Holy Spirit is going to produce in our life if we will follow Him. So then today, we have the opportunity to say, well, I'm I'm going to ignore what the Word of God says, and I'm going to go ahead and continue and serve myself, or I'm going to surrender and I'm going to submit to Christ and allow His Holy Spirit to lead me. So this morning, if you're at a place where you're ready to surrender to Christ, give Him your life. And I'm talking to those who are not born again yet. If that's you, I would love to meet you in the altar and pray with you. If you were convicted this morning in this message and you say, Lord, I got to give up some of those things, then I want to meet you down at the altar as well. And if you know Christ, and there is you want to be simply led by the Holy Spirit more, and you want to come to the altar and say, Holy Spirit, help me to see how you're leading me, to recognize it, to pay attention to it, and to look for it, to look for you leading and guiding me, then I would love to meet you in the altar as well. And before, Charlie, go ahead and come on up, my friend, and if you needed some others, then do whatever you need there. And on both sides of the altar, I've got a piece of paper, I've got a pen, and I've got a nail. And I'm going to read the next scripture to explain. The next scripture is verse 24. Paul continues and he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus... Those who belong to Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and have crucified them there. Your desires, today you get the opportunity to say, I'm dead to that. I'm killing it today. Listen, for me it was 25 years ago, just a couple months ago, where I was at a youth retreat. They did something along these lines. And I took a piece of paper and I wrote my sins down on that piece of paper. And you better believe I folded that dude up. And then what I did was I nailed it to the cross. Here's a little cross. There's a hammer. You don't have to go through every step. It doesn't matter. But what I want you to symbolize and understand is that you're getting rid of it and you're killing it today of yourself. And then saying, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. I want to live for you and not for me anymore. All right? Let's do it. If the Holy Spirit's been tugging on your heart, get to the altar and do what you got to do. Let's seek His face this morning. Because He wants us to be led by the Spirit. That's what we've got to do. Move out.
You are Waymaker, miracle worker.
It's time. It's your opportunity.
Light in the darkness.
It's time.
My God, that is who You are.
Thank You, Lord.
You are here, touching every heart.
Yes, Lord.
I worship You.
Yes, Lord.
Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are. You are. Lord, I worship. stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Lord, you're on the move, Lord. You are on the move.
Lord, I worship you.
Yes, you are.
You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are. I worship you.
You are.
You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Praise you, Lord.
You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are.
Darkness, my
isn't he? I love his word. But sometimes his word hits us right between the eyes. And it stomps on our toes all at the same time, doesn't it? He's good. The God we serve is wonderful. And I'm just, I want to say to those of you who came up to the front and those of you who nailed that on here, nobody's looking at that stuff. We don't care. All we care about is that you're